Welcome to Table Talks with Kay Woodward. Married for more than 43 years, Kay and her husband Galen have three married sons, nine grandchildren, and are longtime pastors in Albuquerque, New Mexico. With the recent release of her new cookbook, which is filled with treasured recipes and stories, she's excited to bring you into her world of faith and family. So, take a seat at the table with Kay as she welcomes special guests from varied backgrounds and stages of life to dive into relevant and important topics of today. Please enjoy today's episode.
I'm excited today to be joined by Samantha Carrillo, licensed therapist and co-owner of Hope for Therapy in Albuquerque, New Mexico. You know, with the holidays quickly approaching, there's just so many highs and lows that people experience. And we're going to talk today about how to navigate those feelings and how to find joy and hope during the holiday season. Join me. Sam, I am so excited to have you on this episode of Table Talk. So, okay, people will know we're recording this. Mm-hmm. And because if this were truly November, yeah, when we're going to air this, my whole house would be, it would look like Christmas just exploded in my house because I decorate my house for the Christmas season, the 1st of October. So people get all whipped out about that. They'll say, "What? Well, you don't do Thanksgiving or you don't appreciate the fall." I'm very thankful for everything, yeah, but I'm very thankful for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so much work, uh-huh, to decorate my house for Christmas that I want it up. And like, I'm the one that watches Christmas in July, Hallmark movies in July. The whole month I watch Christmas movies. Yeah. And then I'm getting ready for this episode. I think that's why I wanted to have it, because I was thinking, why am I so into Christmas? So like the, you know, I just talked right before this podcast and people heard me say that you're a licensed therapist. And I just thought it'd be really fun to have someone whose expertise is mental health to talk about the holidays, because now when this is actually dropping, this episode, we're in the middle of all the craziness of the holidays. And I hear so many differing opinions when I talk to people, you know, about Christmas or Thanksgiving. Some people really love the holiday season, yeah, and others for a myriad of reasons don't love the holidays. And that's just hard for me to fathom, but I also understand it. And I know there's all kinds of wonderful psychotherapy and reasons why that is. But so I just want to jump right in this, sure, session to ask, why is it that Thanksgiving and Christmas, especially Thanksgiving and Christmas, why does it bring, I mean, so such highs, really highs, but such lows for people? Why such a difference in emotions that those holidays?
Yeah, so I feel like the positive emotions it brings out is pretty easy to label, right? Because I think in general, and I'm speaking more general with a lot of these things, but usually people who don't have faith or don't really believe things are sacred, Christmas time at least, or Thanksgiving, it's different. It feels different. People are a little more aware of their fellow man and want to give back, or feeling, you know, like we should bring some joy to people. It's also when family comes together. Maybe you haven't seen family in a really long time. There's some families that are really big that they only see each other for Thanksgiving or Christmas. There's special things happening. Kids are out of school, so they're pumped, you know. I think there's just a little extra effort in a lot of different things, right? You don't have a normal dinner, you have a Christmas dinner, or you don't have a normal lunch, you have a Thanksgiving lunch. And then it, you know, you participate in traditions and different activities that are special and unique to your own family. So the positive emotions that come out with holidays, I think, is pretty straightforward. And I think that we can kind of all understand, or at some point had, right? I think the negative ones, for someone who grew up in, so me particularly, I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up with two very loving parents. They've been married for almost 40 years. I have two sisters that I'm very close to, and they're also in very healthy, marriages. My life was blessed. And so I loved Christmas also. Christmas is my favorite holiday of all time. And Thanksgiving also I love, right? So I had to, as a therapist and a counselor, really ask the Lord for wisdom to help me understand what the difference was, right? For people who didn't have that experience. So close to 40%, according to the American Psychological Association, 40% of people will report increased stress during the holidays. When we talk about people who already have identified mental illness, 64% of them will say that their symptoms worsen during this time. There's actually a disorder called a seasonal affective disorder that has been identified by the Psychological Association because of how prevalent these negative emotions and feelings are. Seasonal affective disorder is mainly happens in the winter time. And it'll start well, the fall and then winter, and then usually by spring it kind of lifts a little bit. But they felt that they needed to label it and point out some of those criteria. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of factors that cause this, right? That can be really stressful for people. Some of those stress factors could include financial stress, right? Mm-hmm. And these expectations for gift giving and just even potentially basic needs stuff, right? Maybe you don't have food for Thanksgiving dinner and that might make you feel really stressed out. I would say increased loneliness. That's a pretty straightforward one too, right? If you don't have a family that you get along with or don't have a family that's no longer alive. If you're single and you yearn for a family, I think changes in routine can be difficult for people. Some people really thrive on routine and they feel like their life only makes sense if it's a routine. So when there's a change in that, that can cause some anxiety and some stress.
Like you're talking to me. You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking, so that holiday season, this holiday season, Thanksgiving or Christmas, it sounds like it illuminates whatever is already kind of happening in our life. If we're lonely, it makes that feel bigger. If our family's just going great, it makes that feel, you know, even better maybe, because you're talking about getting out of the routine and how that can, you know, stress us out. It's so much to think about, because my kids make fun of me because I decorate so early for Christmas, because I just truly do love the season. Mm-hmm. And besides the fact that we're celebrating Jesus' birth, but I love what the holiday season does for children, you know, the excitement in children and how exciting it makes it all feel. But that's why we're talking about this, because just in 2 minutes, you've said stuff and I'm thinking, I never thought about that. Yeah. I never thought that's why, you know, people could feel, you know, well, it's just amazing already.
And there's some things that are out of our control, right? So wintertime brings shorter days. There's less sunlight, right? We all know the benefits that sun has on not just our physical, but our mental health. Yes. And then there's less time outside, right? Less physical activity also. So it's not just emotional things that can cause stress. It's just the real, actual, practical things that we have no control over. And so I feel like it's really sad for me when I do meet people or I have people around me that really hate the holidays, because I do feel that that's a very special time that I feel like God's given us as humanity, that there's these little special things like Christmas or holidays in general that, our home is not on earth, our home is in heaven, but while we're on earth, God wants us to enjoy our lives, right? God wants us to have those special moments, and as excited as you get, that the Lord gets just as excited to watch you bask in the blessings God's given you. But like you said, it accentuates whatever you're feeling or going on already. So it can accentuate your blessings, or it can accentuate, you know, your loneliness or lack thereof.
I think as for the anticipation of it, that's even, I think with all big things, like even a vacation, the anticipation of it sometimes can be more exciting than the actual event. But, and I'm such a tradition person, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, but I want everything to be like it was the year before. I want the tradition, and that's great when all your family's in town and everything's going just right, but one little thing can change that, you know, since tradition, and so it can make us sad when we should be happy. It's just, it's the ritual, I think, too. And I don't mean that. I mean, we're gonna let people, hopefully they'll understand from the get-go that we, you know, both Christians, and we understand that we're celebrating gratefulness and also the birth of Jesus. So that's a given, but we're going to talk about you know, we're talking about other parts of Christmas. So people saying, well, you didn't talk about Jesus, but we love Jesus, but yeah. we're talking about like yeah. that holiday and mental health and all yeah. that. So
yeah.
anyway,
well, he's the basis of all
that's
of
right.
it. He's the basis right. of all of it. And I think, you know, we have to get into the, maybe the minutiae of things or the details of things, because I think sometimes the details can change everything. You know what I mean? Perspective, sometimes we have a general view. And I'll talk about that a little later, but just like our perspective generally, right? I don't have a family, so I'm lonely and holidays suck. You know what I mean? And the change in perspective or looking at the details of things can, God can use those details. You know what I mean? I think there's three types of people, and I kind of mentioned this earlier, but that I've kind of pinpointed can benefit from our conversation. I think people who, the first one being a really, really difficult one is grief and loss, and people who've lost people around the holidays, during the holidays, before the holidays, that maybe this is the first year they're gonna have holidays without them present. Or it's been years that they've had holidays without them and it still stinks, you know? And so their traditions, no matter what, will look different. And then there's people who have really big families and the dynamics of that. And when you have families that aren't believers, family members that aren't believers, or there's discord or unforgiveness or tension, or you're part of a blended family. And so navigating, you know, when you have to split time with your ex, or, you know, you've gone through a divorce, or bringing in outside members that might not understand your family culture, things like that.
All of those. Yes.
And then lastly, you know, people who are single, Christian or not Christian, right? Whether they're younger or older and still are yearning for a family of their own and have to watch families participate in Christmas activities and they're sitting, you know, at church alone or whatever the case is. I just want to speak to those hearts too. I think there's a lot of different reasons. There's a lot of different reasons why people struggle during this time, but there's so much that God can do during this time also.
The three categories you just talked about, just straight off the bat,
sure.
just really practical things straight off, so the single person that, you know, maybe they have a friend group or community. I mean, first I would say get a community around you, and hopefully that would be your church and you would find people
yeah.
there. But mm-hmm. it's interesting around holidays, because people, even if you have a little group at church or you have community or your church, but everybody don't gravitate toward family. And if you're single and you don't have family in the town you live in
yeah.
or you don't have anywhere to go, yeah. it's like you don't want it to be horrible for everybody else, but you're also thinking, I don't have anything
yeah.
here. I mean, what do you say to that person?
Yeah, so this is a big one, and this is close to my heart. You know, I yearn for a family also. God hasn't opened that door for me either. Luckily, I'm blessed with a really big family and a great support system, but not everybody has that. And so I think you bring up a really, really good point. I would say this, because you're lonely and because you're sad, the enemy doesn't take a break. He's not like, oh, she's sad, I should leave her alone, right? And so there's very real emotions that can start or be accentuated during this time, but you're also in a spiritual battle for your mental health in your life. And so I think if you can recognize God's provision, right, whether it be an invite, whether it be someone saying, hey, you know, you have nowhere to be on Christmas, why don't you come and be with our family? And your natural intuition might be like, well, I don't really know them, or no, I don't want to intrude. You have to look at, wait, is this God providing for my needs? Is this God providing for something that I've been yearning for, but it just looks a little different,
wow.
right? Another thing is building community is really difficult if you're not a Christian, but it's possible. But I think as Christians, we have so many tools to be able to build community. And I want to speak to introverts, because I'm surrounded by them. I'm not necessarily an introvert, but I'm surrounded by a lot of them. A lot of my best friends are. And I would say that it's sometimes pushing past what feels natural for you, because God's faithful and he'll answer that, right? Mm-hmm. So I use the story of Elijah a lot. Elijah God used him to do some mighty and amazing things. Long story short, Jezebel finds out, wants to kill him. Elijah takes off to the mountains and is like, he's really depressed. Him and his servant leave. He leaves his servant. He goes off and walks into the mountains. He sits down under a tree. This is real. The Bible says that he sits down under a tree and says, okay, God, I just want to die. Like, I can't do this. What does that tell us? It tells us he was depressed. He was suicidal.
Yes.
Right? How did God answer that need? Did God say, what's wrong with you? Like, come on, dude. Like, really, seriously, I just used you mightily and you're going to be sad right now. No, he fell asleep. God sent an angel with some cake and a drink and woke him up and said, here, eat. God filled his need right there. He met him. Elijah fell asleep again. Two times this happened, right? Then Elijah had enough sustenance to get up and he walked for 40 days after that, right? So God didn't reprimand him for being sad. God didn't reprimand him for being suicidal. What our job is to go to the Father with our pain, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. To be honest with him and say, okay, Lord, like, I know I'm not supposed to be sad, but I am. I know I'm supposed to trust and believe, but I'm having trouble doing that because I'm watching these families walk into church and I'm just walking alone. Mm-hmm. So when you go to the Father with that, he will provide provision in the exact way that you need it, right? And so for Elijah, it was a cake and some water, right?
For that you, would work for me too.
Same, right?
Would make me happy.
Yeah, pie for me, not necessarily cake. But he might send you a friend that says, hey, like, you know, we're doing a production. Would you like to serve with us? Oh my gosh, serving changes your life because you're giving back. And you can't go wrong with that, right? But it's going to take stepping out of your comfort zone. It's going to take sacrificing your time. And you have no idea what God could have for you there. I've met some of my best friends serving in church, right? If someone invites you to their house and you don't know what to expect, you just go and you say, okay, Lord, I feel like this is maybe something you're providing. Can you just hold my hand as I walk through this door? And I think you have to do your part. Elijah was obedient in taking his pain to the Lord. He was obedient in eating. I didn't throw the cake and say, no, I'm not doing that, right? And then it works in conjunction with the Lord knowing what you need. But you have to be obedient, right?
Love it.
Yeah.
It's so good. And then, I mean, so I haven't been single since I was 19 years old. So that perspective is so good because when you're not living in the season someone else is living in, we don't always, you know, think that way. So that is just something to remind us to who are also we opening our heart up to and looking around to seeing who is in need. And it feels like also you mentioned another group of people that have had loss around, you know, the holidays or even the first Christmas or the first Thanksgiving without that loved one. And I experienced that when I lost, you know, my dad and then my mom, because they were such an integral part of our kids. My boys are their only grandkids. And so they were a big part of our life. Mm-hmm. And also the loss of my father-in-law. But so that loss, but I do hear people and I have friends that sometimes the loss seems so big that they can't even allow themselves to enjoy the rest of the people around them, you know, like their own kids or their own grandchildren, because the loss is still so big, or it's so fresh. Maybe it's still, you know, it's just happened. But how do you speak to someone dealing with loss, but yet still celebrating and it's okay? So I think that's just a real conundrum that I'm experiencing loss and I should be, and I think it would be disrespectful if I'm not sad, but yet these other people, I need to be happy too, because you can do both at the same time.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Lisa Harper, I don't know if you've heard of her. She, mm-hmm. I just yeah, listened to her great. Preaching this week. She talked about how grief is not ungodly, right?
That's good.
I think that this is something that's close to my heart. Recently, I lost a second dad. My best friend's father passed away unexpectedly and tragically. And so this is the first Christmas they're not going to have him. And he was a big part of my life. And I really did feel like he was a second dad. So I'm experiencing that. I don't have my grandparents anymore either. So our holidays do look different. I just want to say that, you know, ignoring your feelings or trying to push down your feelings or pretend like it's not happening, you know, that might bring temporary relief, but it can really cause some damage, right? And so I think you should give yourself permission to be sad. I think you should give yourself permission to grieve. Your anxiety for the holidays coming up is normal and natural. But I will say this, the Lord never intended us to feel that. He never intended. That's why grief feels so unnatural. It's so painful and so out of our spirit. When sin entered the world, death did. And so there's an amazing book, and I wanted to recommend it for all your listeners, but it's Through the Eyes of a Lion by Levi Lesko.
Oh, yeah.
Have you read it?
Yes, and I know him. He's spoken it with our
young. Yeah. Uh-huh. So for people who don't know his story, but he lost his 5-year-old daughter 5 days before Christmas to an asthma attack. But what he talks about and what I wanted to kind of refer to, what he said was that he was so angry at certain points in like the process, to the point that he was shaking or his teeth were clenching. And the Lord impressed on his heart that he was just as angry. He was just as angry that he, not that he had hope, but that he needed it. Because the Lord never intended him to ever feel that. And so the Lord is angry that sin is in our world. And that perspective can kind of just change things a little bit. Because again, it's natural and normal to be angry with the Lord. If you are disappointed even, that's normal. He can handle that. Like, bring it to him, bring it to his feet and talk to your Father about that. But he's going to give you this understanding of the process of our lives and what that looks like. And so I think perspective is huge in that. So while giving yourself permission to grieve, there is another part of it where you can't just hold on to your pain and be angry about it, but you have to give it to the Father, right? I tell my friends all the time, I surrender everything to the Lord. I'm driving to work and I'm sad. I'm like, Lord, take it. Just take it. Like, you're a good Father. I don't know how, what you're going to do, but like, I give it to you because I don't want to feel it. You know what I mean? And sometimes there, it takes time for it to, you know, simmer down. Sometimes the edge is taken off really quickly and I feel better. You know, it just depends. But feelings aren't facts, but feelings are important and I don't want to discredit them. But the fact is that the holidays are coming. Your family, who's still alive, they're here. And we can really focus on what we don't or focus on what we have. And the supernatural strength it might take to get there, I think that we need to take the Father's hand and say, okay, Lord, well, help me with that, right? A lot of therapeutic models are built on thinking, your way of thinking. You know, we say in church all the time, take your thoughts captive. For new believers, they don't know what that means. Right. Where am I taking my thought, right? But it's really your thought life, your thought process. Your emotions and your feelings are real. Your thoughts are connected to that. There's a therapeutic model called cognitive behavioral therapy, and it's really focusing on your thoughts and some of the damaging thoughts that you have and how that affects your emotions, which affects your behavior, right? If you can get your thoughts in order, right? And say, okay, I'm really sad, Lord, but I'm gonna just try to recognize you in this moment. I'm gonna try to see you in these details, whether it be Christmas caroling or you hear a Christmas song or you're at a Christmas service with your family and all you have is your pain. Lord, help me to see through my pain, past my pain, right? Mm-hmm. To see what you still have for me, because he loves you and he wants you to enjoy things still, right? But ignoring it's not healthy. But I also think Elijah had to get up, right? Elijah had to eat. He had to. And that's the world we live in. And I think that's what's the hardest for people who are grieving is the world keeps moving. You know, the world keeps moving. Does. Christmas comes. Thanksgiving comes.
It's like, so strange. The day my dad died, because we'd lost my father-in-law, but I'd never lost anyone in my family. And my grandparents were really old when I was born. And anyway, long story. But the day my dad died, I had to go to the grocery store in Alabama where he died. And I was picking up something. And I looked around and I just was like shocked. I'm like, the world's moving. They're all shopping and nobody's sad here but me.
Yeah.
Their whole life is, you know, everybody's eating and drinking and being merry. And I'm grieving the loss of our patriarch. And no, it's just crazy to me. This for first time in my whole life, I was like, this grief thing is really crazy. And the world moves on.
Yeah.
Everybody stops for the day with you.
Yeah.
And then they go back to their life and you're having to, you know, accept life without that person. So you mentioned, you know, to me when you got here to my house earlier that, you know, there's loss too with when you go through a divorce. So there's loss through death, but also loss because someone can move away. Mm-hmm. Someone, you know, you could have a divorce and things aren't the same this year as they were last year. And when you have a big family like our family, it looks a little different every year because we have Christmas real early, but Dustin and Mandy, they get to go to Kentucky that day to see Mandy's family, which is great. So, but every year it looks a little different depending on when they go. This year, Brandon and Delaney aren't getting to come because they're doing something different for Christmas. And I'm going, whoa, hey, everybody, whoa, you know, and I start getting worried and nervous because I like things to be just the way they were. So any kind of change mm-hmm. can trigger us to thinking it's not going to be good. And I just have to, you said, you know, taking our thoughts captive. And also, you know, I talk to myself a lot, but I say, you know, you have to grab this. You have to get, you know, take it captive, grab, as my daddy would say, grab a hold of that and not let that decide how your holiday is going to be. It can't be that way. You know, you can't do that. And I want to. Yeah. I want to go, huh? Right. But it's, I feel the Lord speaking to me saying, no, it's just, it's going to be fine. It's just a little different. You can do this and stop being a baby.
Well, because, I mean, the enemy hates you and wants to kill, steal, and destroy, right? So if he knows that you're struggling with that, how much is he going to try to feed that, right? Where it's like, yeah, see, they're not here.
It makes it bigger than it really is. It's one day and the whole, you know, it's a couple of weeks. It's not, it's a big deal, but it's not a big deal. But the enemy, the devil, says, I'm going to make this a really big deal for you. So the person that their family moved or they went through divorce and this is not their year to have the kids for that holiday or whatever, I do. I feel pain, really, when I see parents not getting, you know, getting to be with their kids or grandkids on a holiday.
Yeah.
And you want to fix it for them. But even what you've said so far is that God's always provided something for us to deal with the pain we're in that season. Yeah. But we have to take it and eat it. We have to do what it is we have to do to, and I don't want to have to get past something. I catch myself thinking, well, I'll just get through it. I really feel like God would rather us not just have to get through something, but that we could have joy in that process, that we could somehow still know that he's good and that it's okay.
So I think in some people might find it a cliche or just, oh, I've heard that before, but it's so different when you draw near to him. The Bible says you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. Mm-hmm. So I had a visual, like when you just said what you said, that you were in the grocery store and everybody's moving and you're like, does anybody know what I'm feeling? I saw you there. I saw you at the grocery store and I saw the Lord up above just say, okay, I'm here. Mm-hmm. I got you. We're going to get through this. Like, let's get some groceries. I'm going to hold your hand. You know, like that's how close he is. Mm-hmm. That's how close he is. And if you just ask him to show himself, Lord, I'm struggling. I'm sad. People don't know what I'm feeling. You said you do. So can you just help me? I just need help. Or maybe you don't even know what to pray, but you're just obedient. Right? You just, okay, I'm going to go to the Christmas service. Like, I don't feel like it. I'm going to get dressed and I'm going to go, right? Or I'm going to just cook. I'm going to cook for my family. My son's not here. He's, you know, maybe serving overseas or he moved away. Like, I'm just going to cook and I'm going to be obedient. And I'm just going to trust that you're going to help me. You're going to help me. Help me to stay present. Right?
You know, this brings up a thought. This has nothing to do with the holiday, but when I wrote the cookbook last year and I spoke at Citizen Church, but a lady came to me during the conference and she said, I bought your book. And she said, I feel very convicted because I got rid of my table because nobody eats with me. I'm single now and I just eat on the couch. I sit at the couch and I don't have a table. And I felt like when you were speaking that you spoke about how important the table was and having and opening up our home to people and being there for people. And she said, I felt like if I got a table, if I did it anyway, if I went ahead, like you mentioned about cooking anyway, if I went ahead and just purchased a table, that maybe God would bring people in my life because I'm basically saying to God, I don't have room for anybody, so I'm not going to open up. And so during that conference, because it was 3 days, the next day she came and said, I just bought this table off Facebook Market. Literally a week later, she came to me because I was out there selling books, and she said, I have a nephew that I haven't seen in forever, and he's come to stay with me out of the blue for a while. Yeah. And, you know, we could have sat on the couch to eat dinner, but I said, let's go to the table. And she said, I got it in faith that God would bring people around my table again. Yeah. So when you're saying that about do the meal anyway, cook it anyway, go to the service anyway, even in the pain, go anyway, because God has provided, like he did for Elijah, the cake and the water or whatever. But we have to go there to get it, right?
Yeah. And so that brings a great point. You know, hospitality is a gift. Mm-hmm. It's a spiritual gift. And the Lord says to ask for gifts, right? So maybe you're not like you, right? Where you don't cook and you don't know how to host people. But you have a heart. You have a heart for the broken and you have a heart for the hurting. Ask the Lord, God, give me the gift of hospitality. I have a little apartment or I have a big house, whatever the case is. Help me to see what my role is in other people's lives, right? That start there. Start with asking God. Some people, it just comes natural. My mom, since I was little, we've always had friends come over for holidays, always. My mom's so good. She would always have a gift for my friend who came. right? And they would be, oh, we'd be all there opening our presents, and they'd be, oh, this is for you. And they would, what? You have, you know, and it would just, so doing those things, right? Where it's opening your door, buying the table on Facebook, making sure that you have an invite. That also might be stepping out of your comfort zone, but you don't know what it can do for someone. I spoke with one of my friends. She went through a pretty bad divorce. And I asked her, just thinking about this podcast, I said, you know, like, how did you get through like the holidays right after? It was a really bad situation. And she said, you know, it was hard to go around family because they just want to talk about it. They just want to talk about my divorce. I want to talk about how angry they were and what I should do and what I'm not doing. And what changed, I had one friend who didn't partner with my hurt. She partnered with my promise, right? The promise that God will bring you a hope and a future. And so she, when she would come around, her friend would just come to her house and say, hey, let's go for a walk. And they wouldn't even talk about the divorce. They would just talk about today, you know? And she said, when I God brought people around me that weren't just talking to my divorce or my pain or my hurt, but talking about what my life now or my new life or what's to come, like it just made a huge difference for her. God used her to open her doors to start doing that for other women. And so you don't know, like in both ways, either your pain can just be mightily used to just help so many people around you. Or if you recognize that pain and God's giving you a burden for it, there's a reason. You have to do something. So if it's not a meal for someone, it might be a, hey, I'm praying for you. Like, I got you this little gift. Like, maybe see them at church. And you don't know what that person prayed for. You don't know if that morning they were like, Lord, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. Like, they said on the Case podcast to go to church. So here I am and it just sucks and whatever. And then someone brings them a gift. Right? Someone, you don't know how God can use you, and he's in the details. He's so in the details. So it's obedience on both ends, right? Where you want to know how to help people who struggle, open your doors.
You said a few minutes ago about serving, but we're talking about Thanksgiving and Christmas together because I kind of lump them. I know people don't love that, but because they tell me about it on Facebook if I post my Christmas tree too early.
Yeah.
But, finding joy and holding on to joy, but I feel like, and you alluded to this with serving, but gratitude. Mm-hmm. And when we can become grateful in some way, somehow, if we can find gratefulness, gratitude somewhere in the picture of this holiday season, it really does help turn things around. Because when we step out of ourselves, whether we're serving at church or serving by opening up our home to bless someone, but when we can be grateful by turning around and giving back to someone else, it really does change the whole spirit of everything. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's, you know, maybe the generation now tends to be cause oriented. So they do see that. I think maybe that's a real positive of Gen Z and Gen Alpha. They love to help people because they're truly, they care, they're intrinsically caring. Mm-hmm. And that, but the older generations can get kind of cynical, and we, you know, we don't get our way or life's not like we want it. And I feel like that the spirit of when we focus on, and it sounds cliche also, the true meaning of Thanksgiving or the true meaning of Christmas. But if we really focus on the true meaning of Christmas, then the gratitude begins to grow in me. Mm-hmm. Or you or whoever. Mm-hmm. And then I can look at it a little differently and not be so, I get so selfish with it because I make it all about me. Mm-hmm. And that's really, it's a selfish thing. But to focus on gratitude, how do you find joy in the midst of a season that maybe doesn't bring it for you, or if things don't go our way, when we have our hopes up or we have it planned out and something happens that the plan doesn't come to fruition, how do we find that joy? And I think you mentioned it, but if you could expound on gratitude. And
Yeah. I think what has the devil tried to squander or diminish the most during holiday seasons is that the true meaning of it, right? That's why a lot of people don't like celebrating Christmas, because they're like, oh, it's all about gifts and Santa and all this. And our job as Christians who know the truth and know why we're celebrating Christmas, or even being thankful as Americans to celebrate Thanksgiving, right? Like, we have to teach our children, right? And so I don't know if that means, you know, reading the history of the United States and pilgrims and learning about really why we don't just have turkey for no reason, right?
Right.
And then for Christmas, making sure that you set apart time in your traditions or in your celebrations to say, we're going to all come together as a family and go before the Lord. We're going to thank him. I know for Thanksgiving, we go around the table and say what we're thankful for, and we don't let anybody get away with it if they don't want to talk. And during Christmas, we make sure to not just make room for Jesus, but recognize that this is all for him. This is all, he's given us this, he's given us family, he's given us, privilege, and making sure that we talk about it, that we participate in Christmas services, that we make sure to go to church and to be there too. Cause there's so many places you can be, right? For us, a huge tradition for us is we go Christmas caroling to the elderly homes. I've done it since I was little. Wow. So if we don't do it, it's weird and it doesn't feel good. During COVID, it was tough. It was so tough because there was a couple of years that we couldn't. But it was pivotal to get outside of myself as a little 15-year-old and see that these, you know, elderly people who don't have families are so sad. Like when we came and sang about Santa, maybe, right? Tears down there, or just singing with us. Like it was just my parents teaching us, like, it's not about you. It's not, we're going to give back because the Lord's so good. And that means bringing and using Christmas as a tool, right? The holidays as a tool to just continue what we've been doing all year, right?
I think you're talking about tradition. And I think that that's a question I had for you, but what role do traditions play? Because some traditions are not spiritual by nature, which is fine. Great spiritual traditions are great, like going to church. I mean, if our church has six Christmas Eve services, our family is at all six. But we have great spiritual traditions, but also we have, because family is so important, but I mean, so psychologically, I mean, yeah. There's got to be some kind of really cool analytical thing that why traditions are so important in our lives. Because I think sometimes people, they lose a family member, so they don't want to carry a tradition because it reminds them it's painful. But I'm so opposite. I'm steeped in tradition. Yeah. And I do things my mother did, and I, my kids, I see them doing things I did. So why is tradition so important, but especially at the holidays?
Yeah, so I think like from a mental health place, I think that it brings security. It brings security for children, yes. For teenagers, for parents, for they know what to expect, right? Some the most pivotal important factor in a child's life for them to grow up in a healthy home is stability and consistency, right? Because yes. they need to know what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen. Yes. And if a child doesn't have to worry about that, they can thrive.
Well, that's
right?
Me as an adult. Honestly, I don't think I ever grew out of it. I want to know when, how, and whatever y'all just said. That is me. Yeah. I'm such a planner.
Sure.
Y'all see my planner. Sure. I still use a paper one because I want to write all the things out. Uh-huh. But I probably didn't grow out of it. See, I probably have some kind of issue because I didn't grow out of it when I was a little kid or something. But anyway, another session. But it really does. There's security and tradition.
There's security and tradition. And not just that, you're building a legacy. You're building a culture.
Yes, I know.
I know what my family's about. We're about God and music.
That's so good. Say, y'all hear her? She said, this is tradition is good because you always, it creates legacy and I know what my family's about.
Yeah.
My children know what the Woodward family is about. My grandchildren know what we're about because of tradition and legacy. That's so big.
Yeah, it is big. And it's just, and also it's just fun. It's just fun. And it's, you know, you might have a mom who you think, speaking to teenagers, you might think, oh, all she does is, you know, worry about my grades and just is mad all the time because the kitchen's not clean. On Christmas, most people are in good moods, right? On Christmas, your mom, and I'll tell parents, you know, like laundry can wait. You know what I mean? December 25th, just don't worry about chores, right? Like, let's just have a special day. Let's just make, and it doesn't have to have anything to do with money. It can be, you know, you make special pancakes that you never make during the week. It can be like, we're all gonna sit around, we're gonna watch Home Alone. You know, like whatever tradition you want to create for your family, don't let the devil lie to you and say it has to be a certain way or it has to cost this much or it has to be fancy. It just has to be special.
I'm a gift giver, but more than what it costs, my favorite kind of gifts to give and just what you did. So Sam brought me a gift in when she came to do this podcast today. And I'm a huge Alabama football fan. And she brought me a really cool Crimson Tide beach towel. But I'm so intentional with gift giving.
Yeah.
I've listened all year and they don't know I'm listening. Grandkids or my children, my grown kids, my husband, I'm listening to them.
Yeah.
And my biggest joy is giving a gift that shows I put so much time and intention. I was listening. And I do that for baby shower gifts, for wedding gifts. I mean, I love to give, but it's not how much it costs, because I really want a good deal and a sale. But it's about the intentionality of what goes behind it. So I'm you're saying that on in this holiday season, what can you do for someone that shows you were listening and that you care? And that you heard them, and it's something that they really wanted, but it's not about the money it costs. I will make our Thanksgiving table. Well, we have two big tables that go together, this table and another one, and it's full of food. And I make everyone's favorite side dish and everyone's favorite dessert, because to me, and I'm acts of service too. So you just, I mean, you get the jackpot when you get me, because I do all the stuff. I do all the stuff, but I love to serve. And so for me, the joy when it's my little granddaughter's favorite dessert, when she goes, you know, did you make chocolate pudding tonight or whatever? Yeah. I mean, that to me is so special. So whatever, you know, we tend to love people out of our own love language, but that's another show. But I love to give. And those things, they cost a little money, but you were going to cook something anyway. So what can you do to make the person, when they come to the table, say, that was for me?
Yeah, I think you hit it on the nail. Intentionality is key. I like I told you, you're a lot like my mom. My birthday was just last month. And for our staff meeting, my sister went and she makes this dessert for me every birthday. And she even got it and brought it to the office for me. And that just tugs at my heart. You know what I mean? Intentionality just changes everything, I think, for your family and for the people close. But what I would say is, when you go to church or when you're around your community, whether it be coworkers, say, Lord, put on my heart what you want me to do this season. I'm hurting, I'm pain, so it's not about me. I don't even want to think about me. I want to think about someone else. So help me. So show me who, I want to see people the way you see them. And there will be a specific person, a specific family that God's going to put on your heart. Be obedient, right? And you don't know what God can do. And it doesn't come natural for me to decorate a certain way, or even my mom, the way she makes gifts, and like, they're so beautiful. My sisters have that gift. I don't, but I try, because my mom taught me that. And she showed me that, you know, the details matter sometimes, right?
I feel like I do so
yeah.
much.
And so I think you have to be intentional. And what is that? It's all reverting back to getting out of your head. Right. And taking your thoughts captive and really saying, okay, I'm not going to live by my feelings. Cause like we said, right. Feelings are important, but they're not what we should live by. Right. Getting out of your feelings and saying, okay, I don't even want to celebrate Christmas, but I want to be a servant of you. So help me to serve this season, whatever that looks like. I remember I must have been, I think maybe 12 or 13. We adopted a family. So we didn't even give gifts to each other. My mom was like, we're going to adopt a family and we're all going to pick out gifts for them. Oh my gosh. Like, I still remember, like simple little things that I would have never really liked as a gift, just being the brat that I am. Like, I saw what it did for these less fortunate people and changed my life. It changed my life, because I don't remember what I got that the next year for Christmas. Couldn't tell you, but I remember that. And that changed me, right? So do that for your children. We want to talk about traditions, or I don't know what to do. I'm not really like artsy. I don't really cook, or whatever the case is. Cool. Get your family together and say, okay, we're going to go serve. We're going to go find somewhere where we can put our time, or we're going to adopt a family. If you know that there's a less fortunate family, tell your kids, we're going to go pick out a gift for little 6-year-olds who needs it. And they're going to have fun and they're going to love it, right? You're also teaching your kids a very valuable lesson where it's not about you, but it's about what you can give back.
And what we've just been saying the whole time, when we get out of ourselves, when we give back, then it lessens the blow or the pain or whatever we're going through. It lessens that. And, you know, cause I was going to ask, and boy, the time goes by so quick. One of the last questions I had was about intentionality, but also how to create a meaningful holiday experience. And we're talking about that. So everybody has to look at their family. So I don't know many people, if just maybe two, that would have the money to spend whatever they wanted for anybody for Christmas. There's always a limit. Everybody's limit's different. And I don't advocate going into debt for a holiday, but I also believe the intentionality and where I would say, if you asked my children or grandchildren anything about me in the holidays, they would say the intentionality. It's their birthdays, everything. And it's not, I mean, I always wish I could do more. I would give them the world if I could. I want them to have everything, but it's the intentionality of that holiday. Even down to we have three families, I have three sons, and one year, the kids ran in to see the presents, and one of my little grandkids thought that something was his present, and it wasn't his present. It was another grandchild's. So that really messed me up, because I felt he was disappointed, because I can't match them all in every gift. So I started doing a different wrapping paper for each family. So Dustin's family gets one wrapping paper, Jonathan's family gets one wrapping paper, and Brandon's family gets one wrapping paper. And they know before they come in.
Yeah.
Because everything's out. It's all a big deal. Everything's a production for me. Mm-hmm. They come in. So I didn't want them to be hurt. So that's just another little tradition we did. Just their family has their own special paper, and they know to go there. And it's just so many little things. I do. I make a production of birthdays and everything. But meaningful, like serving and giving. We do sponsor children. And so we give to them at more at the holidays. Yeah. But
I listed some practical
ways. I want to hear those. That's how I want to end this. Practical ways.
Yeah, so practical strategies.
And I love this about a podcast. Even if you're driving down the street and you're listening, you can always go back and listen again or write down. But here's practical strategies. This is how we're going to end for the holidays.
Just practical strategies, I think, for a couple of things. One, you know, when we go back to grief and loss and, you know, this is your first Christmas without your dad or your first Christmas without your son. Making sure that you do something special for that. So for us, we light a candle and we have a picture and we have my sister's mother-in-law's picture there and the name and then my grandparents and just to give some time and some acknowledgement for them. So maybe even if it's making a gift for them or writing them a letter and putting it in a gift, right? So just something that maybe you can even teach your children if they're also suffering from grief. Just asking the Lord, okay, God, like, what can I do that, like, what's something special? He gives you divine ideas all the time, right? Yes. So making something special for the person that you've lost to just acknowledge them, or you're gonna have to create a new tradition, a new normal, and that's difficult, but you can do it, you know? So I also think, you know, knowing that the holidays are coming, scheduling extra sessions maybe with your therapist or seeking out counseling now, right? We talked about earlier that, you know, therapy is a great, great tool. There is some stigma behind it. I recognize that and understand that. But the Lord has given gifts to his children, and some of those gifts are used to help other people.
Yes.
Actually, all the gifts are used to help other people, but your therapist can be sent from the Lord for you.
And right? I said to you when you first got to my house, that, I mean, I've seen a therapist, I think, for 15 years, but I love that. If you have someone that you're talking to, a counselor or a therapist, then if you come through a low point or a rough spot, you've already built a relationship. Yeah. So it's just a little hiccup versus this major thing. And you're frantically trying to find someone to help you. So yes, I love that idea. Extra sessions or talk about it now, and get ready for it.
Yeah. I think when we're talking about blended families and bigger families, or there's some tension, you know, unforgiveness doesn't just go away because it's Christmas. Right. So that's a spiritual job that you're going to have to start pursuing. Right. Like, cause you might see that person that you haven't forgiven. That's between you and the Lord, right? Like he's called you to forgive, and doesn't necessarily mean you have to be around them, right? There's boundaries. Pastor Dustin's preached about that. So you go to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, if there's unforgiveness in me, why do I feel anxiety about being around my family? What's happening? Like, is there something in me that hasn't truly forgiven? And if that's the case, you do some spiritual work there, right?
Yes.
I always tell my clients, forgiveness is a decision before it's ever a feeling, right? So you decide, okay, I'm going to forgive. You start speaking that, words have power. And then you'll see that your feelings start lining up with that decision, right? And the Lord's good. Anytime we do anything in the spiritual world, right, we make a decision, right, to come to Christ. We made a decision to get baptized. We made a decision, right, to forgive. We made a decision. So make that decision now before you're face-to-face with that person, because you don't want anything to squander God's blessings in those moments. I think, but also in that, drawing clear boundaries and holding them and maintaining them if you need to, out of protection for your family. So I recognize there's toxic family cycles, things out there that aren't healthy. So asking the Lord for wisdom on where do I need to create a boundary that's not built out of unforgiveness or emotion.
That's so clear, because I know we need to end soon, but so many times we throw out the word that's a toxic relationship so quickly now.
Yeah.
But to ask ourselves first, what you just said, is this created by unforgiveness?
Yeah. Or protection. Right? Or God-given.
Because if it's unforgiveness, then you could be the person.
Right.
Right. You could be the
right, because there is a lot of believers that don't believe in boundaries. They say, you know, you need to forgive the Lord and you need to accept them, and I agree. Right? There's that. That's a, you should forgive always, no matter what. There's people who need to forgive people who passed away. Right? Mm-hmm. But boundaries are also given to us for a reason, or that we need to practice for a reason, because we live in a fallen world. Mm-hmm. Right? And if you're creating a culture for your family and you don't protect that, then outside influences can definitely take a toll. Mm-hmm. So ask the Lord, is this boundary from unforgiveness? Is it rooted in my emotions, or is it given to you? Is it spiritually led for protection, right? And around the holidays, it's really important to maintain boundaries. I think setting a budget and sticking to it, talking to your spouse and saying, hey, I wanna spend this much. And even if you and your spouse have different spending habits or different ideas about gifts, a good conversation, not the day before Christmas, right? You prepare for that and say, hey, what's our budget? And this is what I'm comfortable for. If it starts becoming a conflict, then that's something that you guys need to revisit. But setting up a budget. And so that way that financial stress is limited. And, you know, no matter what your kids say, have to say or anything, this is you use wisdom and you've led that. I think making plans ahead of time, if you have a blended family, what are your plans? Whose house do you plan to go to? It's okay to say no to certain. I have friends that their parents are divorced and now they're grown and have their own kids. So they say, okay, you guys are invited to my house. You can come or not. I'm not going to go to yours. I'm going to have Christmas at mine. And I think that's a really healthy boundary that you can
discuss
have.
It ahead of time.
Ahead of
so
time.
So that's not a surprise
exactly.
on Christmas Day.
Right, exactly.
Oh, you're not mm-hmm. staying here for
yep.
lunch? You
yep.
decide ahead of time.
Absolutely. Creating a healthy culture in your family, right? So like what we talked about, making sure you incorporate, read the Christmas story. You know how many Christians haven't ever picked up the Bible and read what the Christmas story actually is, right? So creating time for that, creating that culture. Prioritizing what's truly important, what we've been talking about, gratefulness, right? Gratefulness is at the center of all of this. Grateful for the Lord, what he's done. And then making sure that, you know, you don't have to go to a Christmas service to practice gratefulness, but I think it's a great place to come amongst believers and other like-minded people and just celebrate the Lord together, right? Scheduling time for rest. I think that's a big one. People are really busy and all this time. So you say, hey, Christmas Eve at 2 p.m., I'm going to take a nap or I'm going to spend some time in my room. So you guys got to entertain yourselves. Good luck. And so you moms, dads go into your rooms, even time for the kids, right? And say, okay, we're going to go Christmas caroling, but I want you guys to take a nap before, scheduling time for rest, being adamant about that. And then making sure to get sunlight, right? I know it's cold. I know people hate the cold, but sunlight's good. So making sure you guys take walks or whatever you like to do in the sun, and scheduling physical activity, I think it's important. And you can incorporate that into your Christmas traditions too, right? Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving, right? My brother-in-law goes with his nephews and they all play football. Like that's just fun, yeah. cool things,
cool.
right?
Yeah.
And then, like I said, just pursuing any unforgiveness or any things that are holding you back from truly enjoying your time. Being patient with yourself, gentle with yourself when it comes to grief. Not feeling any pressure, but also being obedient and just trying to, like I've been saying, you know, seeing God in the details, seeing, Lord, is this provision that you're providing right here for me? Like, should I pursue this? And also, you know, I think, like you said, December 25th isn't the only day to celebrate Christmas. So if you have to make accommodations for families, that's okay too. Doesn't change the how special it is, right? We really don't know the day that Jesus was born.
So we can be celebrated any day.
Exactly.
That's what I have learning with
yeah.
my, you know, for myself
mm-hmm.
as your kids get older and you can't manage their schedules anymore.
Right.
It's about celebrating.
Right.
It's about family and Jesus, and you can do that anytime.
Yeah. And another thing for parents, I think if you are seeing a trend with your teenagers or your kids and they're acting out a little bit and not having the right mindset or heart, say, okay, guys, this Christmas, nobody gets gifts. We're giving them, right? Why not? Why not plan that? Like, I mean, you don't have to do it just to punish them, right? It's not a punishment, but why not? Start incorporating every other year we're giving to a family. We're going to do this. And it might not be easy, but man, it's worth it.
There's so much that, I feel like, as in a lot of these episodes on the podcast, I wish I had a part one and a part two,
yeah.
because there's so much to talk about. But honestly, I feel like you've given so much great information that can help you know, you've helped me, and it's going to help so many people to be able, I hope, to look at this holiday season a little bit differently and to be able to make some changes that it won't be, you know, what could be something of joy, because it's meant to be joy to the world. And, you know, I think that we can get past some things God wants us to. You shared that with the story that God really, he wants us to experience his joy, which is different than the joy that we get by way circumstances happen, that's happiness. And he wants us to experience his joy. And it's because of him. Mm-hmm. And it's all supernatural. I mean, it's the whole, yeah. It's so
joy is
so,
eternal.
So much.
Yes. Joy is eternal. Happiness is a moment, and we love happiness. Mm-hmm. Like, God's given us happiness. Yes. But joy is eternal, you know? Yes. And so if you protect your joy and build that joy, that's going to last a lot longer than a really special Christmas thing, right? Yeah. Like, and you want to teach your kids that too. Yeah. And you also want to extend that to people who are lonely or hurting. So just ask God for wisdom. I think that, like, he's so into our lives. He wants to be a part of every detail, yes. right? And so just go to your Father and say, okay, Lord, I'm ready. Let's do this, you know? I think just leaning on him too is huge.
I'm excited to hear stories of people that will listen to this podcast before the holidays, and to say that I know it's going to help a lot of people. And I'm anxious to hear the feedback and the stories. And honestly, I'm going to post, you know, in the intro, we talked about your business and your therapy center. And I'll post it also in the comments, because I know there are people might be thinking, I just need somewhere to go. I'd love to have a therapist, or, you know, I want to talk to someone extra, during this season. And you've got a team. Yeah. If you can't do, you have a team that can help. And boy, I feel so honored that you took time out of your day. I know people are lined up trying to talk to their therapist. Yeah. I do know that it's hard to get in, but that you took time to come chat with me about the holidays, which honestly, this time of year is absolutely, for a lot of reasons, it's my favorite time of year. Yeah. And I have great, great, great memories. But thank you.
Yeah,
thank
absolutely.
You.
Thank you so Sam, much
for joining me. I feel like I'm just excited. I'm excited.
I am
for,
too.
God's good. And this is going to be a great holiday season. I
yes,
feel
ma'am.
That way.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank
Pray
you.
Pray for y'all.
Thank you.
Alrighty, you're welcome.
Thank you for joining me today on Table Talks. For more content and information about upcoming episodes, please visit my website at kwoodward.com. You can also explore other podcast links and resources there. Until next time.